Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, college football fans across the nation and around the world. This is Tim May with the Tim May Show. Yes, another special edition of the Tim May Show. If in fact doing two a week makes it special, I do believe it does, but especially in this case, because with Ohio State headed into, in essence, a must-win game if it's to realize its goal, its first goal of playing in and winning the Big Ten championship game, headed into a showdown at Penn State, Happy Valley this week against number three and unbeaten Penn State. Ohio State, number four, can't afford another loss in the Big Ten, probably, and still make it to that first goal, which is playing for the Big Ten championship. Because, you know, that first loss was at Oregon just a few weeks ago. Man, this slow starting season for the Buckeyes in terms of competition really ramped up, as you've noticed, in the last 4 weeks. I mean, with the game against Iowa, which Ohio State handled quite smartly, but then the 1 point loss at Oregon, which is now the number one team in the country, the surprising challenge 2 weeks later after an off week that was brought on by Nebraska, which defensively gave Ohio State fits, except when Ohio State needed a big time passing play, it got it in that game. And now here comes Penn State, undefeated, just 1-9 against Ohio State in the previous games under James Franklin. And here goes Ryan Day trying to win a game of against a top five opponent for the first time in a long time. So the showdown is obvious in Happy Valley. So I reached back into my contact list and pulled a name out of a hat. Not really, not out of a hat at all. A championship cap, let's put it that way. Urban Meyer to join me. As you might remember, Urban and I had a weekly podcast the past two seasons called Urban's Take, and that kind of got supplanted this year because he, for want of another term, he got a much better offer from us from another area, but with Fox and his buddies, and is really that's become a popular podcast to watch through this season and stuff. I don't regret that at all. I enjoyed my times with Urban Meyer, and I enjoyed my conversation with him this time. And it's not surprising, you know, by the way, watching him get carried off the field last week in Ohio Stadium by his 2014 team members after they were honored for the 10th anniversary of their national championship, the last national championship so far in Ohio State football history, it just reminded me of that what I've been saying all along about Ohio State. I know there's I walk by it almost all the time, a statue to Woody Hayes there by the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. But Ohio State's really short-selling itself, and I even asked Urban about it. He's not going to pat himself on the back, but he brought up the fact of the iconic statues that could be a real huge attraction for Ohio State if it honored, like I've been saying all along, its Heisman Trophy winners. And as he brings up Cardale Jones, who had basically the most unexpected, incredible postseason in 2014 in relief of the injured JT Barrett in that postseason that led to that national championship. But what I also professed is the national championship coaches should each have a trophy somewhere on the huge Ohio State campus, a little grove of trophies. My preference would be on that walkway between Woody Hayes Drive and the rotunda entrance to Ohio Stadium, but it would include Paul Brown, who led the first Ohio State national championship. Of course, Woody Hayes, you could get him another one. What the heck, right? And then Jim Tressel, and of course, Urban Meyer, who led the last one. So, you know, just think about it. I mean, it could really be quite the pantheon, but I digress. I'm going to talk to a walking, talking member of who I think should be in that pantheon, Urban Myers. We discuss a lot of things about Ohio State and maybe a little bit more of college football. But of course, it didn't surprise me at all, as you'll find out in this conversation, that the default button Ohio State should be hitting, much like Urban did in his time as a college head football coach, but even at Ohio State, especially with Braxton Miller and then JT Barrett, is that quarterback run default button should be hit a little bit more, he thinks, with Will Howard in tow, especially this week. We'll see if Ohio State, Chip Kelly, and Ryan Day get to that Ohio State quarterback keeper button in some form or fashion on Saturday. Ohio State is favored, but It's a precarious favorite spot, as we all know. So without further ado, let's get to my conversation with Urban Meyer. Man, I really appreciate Urban Meyer joining me here on the special edition of the Tim May Show, headed into showdown game number two for Ohio State. As Ryan Day kind of put it succinctly the other day, Urban, this is sort of a make or break game for Ohio State to getting to Indianapolis, its first goal of playing for the Big Ten championship, because I don't think you want to come out of a Saturday with two losses on your resume. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it's a they've had two tough road games now. To go to Eugene, Oregon, and State College, those are two rugged ones. Their schedule early on was not rugged at all, but they're paying the price now, and they're as a result, there's a couple guys banged up too. So yeah, this is a tough go.
Urban, you were there last Saturday, that Nebraska game. See, you get paid now to tell people why those games happen instead of having to avoid those games happening. You see what I'm saying, right? 56-7, you lose to Indiana, then you come into Ohio Stadium, you're 25-point underdog, and you put up a fight. You and I both know Nebraska ain't the same Nebraska as 3 years ago or 2 years ago, too. I mean, there's some talent there, et cetera. I think Matt Rhule has a plan and stuff, but as you watch that game live there in person, what was going through your mind about what Ohio State was dealing with?
Well, you have two first-round tailbacks, two first-rounder tailbacks, and I don't want to say I was shocked because I think Tony White, the defense coordinator in Nebraska, is really good. I think it's more of an outlier if you had to say which is more of an outlier, the Ohio State game with Nebraska or Nebraska Indiana. I think I was there at that game too, and
Yeah.
it was one of those ones that it just, I mean, that it went away fast, and Indiana is a. I tell them they're one of the best coached teams, certainly in the Big Ten, I think in the country. They just don't make mistakes. They are really good at what they do, even with a backup quarterback. So, I just concerned like all of us. I don't want to be broken record here that the run game it astonishes me that with the talent you have and then that quarterback that can run. I thought this was the year that you'd have that 200, 220 yards per game rushing. And it hasn't happened.
Yeah. And when you watch it, though, you're analyzing from a coach's point of view and stuff. I mean, I described it to people as, Nebraska runs a 3-3-5 defense, but that's, they got four guys on the line of scrimmage, five guys on the line of scrimmage. They're making you almost chase or whatever they're up to. And it kind of gets you on the wrong end of it. And now how do you play catch up, in some respects? But what did you see about that Ohio State offensive line that could get fixed in a week, I guess is my point, because Penn State, they play a different defense, is going to try a lot of the same shenanigans, et cetera. What can you do in a week to fix something like that, especially when you're going to have probably a shuffled offensive line with maybe Donovan Jackson at left tackle now and that Austin Saraville at left guard?
Yeah, this is rugged. I'm actually going to talk about this on Big Noon. And first of all, you talk about the run game. I would make it so simple because I watch Penn State. I've been watching them actually all day, and they're very multiple. Tom Allen's a D coordinator. They move that Abdul Carter all over the place. So first, if we concentrate on the run game, I would oversimplify it. Zone is your base play, and you have gap schemes. I wouldn't do much more. You're going to have a cadence issue. You're going to have the issue with snapping the ball. Their left guard, when they were at Oregon, Donovan Jackson was a guy that triggered it. He would turn at the quarterback and give the signal. He's now out of tackle, I'm hearing. So I would make this thing simple, stupid for that offensive line and get the ball to your best players, which, the skill level at Ohio State is still arguably the best they've ever had. So you got to think about it. I'd run the quarterback. I'd run him a lot. I made a comment. I'd run him 15 to 20 times in this game. He's the great equalizer. The running quarterback equates numbers for you instantaneously. And it actually forces teams to stop doing a lot of that nonsense. When you start seeing all the chaotic defense, run your quarterback because that you're going to gain a blocker. And so I understand the concern about not wanting to get guys hurt, but this is it now. This is the Super Bowl. Obviously the one at the end of the season, but this is the game.
Back in the old days, and you got to talk about this on that podcast we did the last couple of years, but back in the old days, did you look forward to a game like this? Or just in your guts, what was going on Right about midweek, late week. What, you know, for both of these
know,
coaches, both these good stuff.
when I was a younger gunslinger, wild, coach and all that, I did. But and I talked to Bob Stoops and other friends of mine. As you get older, it's like, it's almost like it's agonizing, because at Ohio State, it's one of the three, four, five programs. And I said this on Big Noon. There's actually a rule. There's not, but you can't lose. And winning becomes a relief. I'll never forget, we had a couple of close ones that won at Maryland. And I mean, it's like the game's over, and you're despondent, because if that kid catches that ball, we lose. And Shelley said it to me one time. She said, "I knew our lives would be much different if we would have lost that game." That's why everybody's so emotional about it. And so you can say Nebraska this, Nebraska that. You won. So move on. Okay, move on. But you won. It would be a much different day if they would have scored instead of, if Nebraska would have scored. So of course, you look forward to them. But the reality is, once you get a little older, it grabs you a little bit.
Yeah, because it's put up or shut up time to a certain extent, and there's so much on the line. There always is at Ohio State, it seems like you're pointing out. Penn State, where's Penn State? Where's Penn State along in that progression line? I mean, obviously they had come from behind last week at Wisconsin to win. I mean, and they put the Pribula kid back in at quarterback, which is one of your joys, is having a quarterback that can run. It changes everything, right? But where are they in regards? If everybody's looking at Ohio State's situation, where's Penn State for Ohio State fans to understand?
I don't know. I think they're, the Buckeyes, no one knew. That's when you play the schedules, at Ohio State and actually Penn State, West Virginia, I thought we were there. I thought it would be I thought it'd be a hell of a game. It wasn't. Penn State just methodically beat them. And then you look at their wins. They went out to USC, and I still think that's a hell of a win, but how good? USC's not very good. And then you go to Wisconsin, and Wisconsin's won some games in a row, but they've beaten some bad teams. So, and I mean this sincerely, I have no idea, other than I see what I see. And they're a really talented team. I really like their Pribula kid. He's the offense coordinator, Andrew Kolmanicki. That's his. He likes that. He likes having guys do that. So I don't know. Is Penn State really what, a number three or something team in the country? We're going to find out. As of now, you have to put them there, but you can't say they've earned that spot yet. I mean, Georgia's. Mostly, some of these teams got two wins over top 10 teams.
Exactly. I'm with you 100%. Hey, last two things. Number one, well, y'all took a direct hit where you live down there in Siesta Key from Hurricane Milton. Give me an example, just real quick, so people understand. You at one point, I understand you were telling me you were standing in the eye of the storm, right? I mean, what was that like, Urban?
Yeah, we vacated inland. I had my daughter and my granddaughter, and we went in a real secured area. And it was Category 5 bearing down in the crosshairs. Sarasota's never been hit. Siesta Key's never been hit. And boy, did we get hit. And it was at night. It was dark out. We lost all power where we're at. And the trees, you could see the trees bending. And then all of a sudden it stopped. And one of our people we were with had a phone, and that was our only kind of. We could see the radar, and we were right in. So we walked outside, and it was just like you see on TV. You were surrounded by the hurricane walls. You couldn't see them, you could hear it. And we stood out there for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and then you could feel it starting to come back up. And then the backside of the storm is just crushed Sarasota.
I don't mean to be a smart aleck, but I think Ryan Day's kind of standing in the eye right now. We'll see how it goes on Saturday, but it is tough following a legend, which is what he's doing. My man, I saw you get carried off the field last Saturday. I wish I'd been down there to actually document it, but I had other things I had to do. But man, I'm putting forth this idea. I've been to Alabama quite a few times, go back, visit kin folks, et cetera. They've got statues of the guys who've won national championships there, the head coaches. I know you probably got to see that at some point in your life, but I don't understand why there's not a statue grove with you and Jim Tressel and Paul Brown in it. Obviously, there's a Woody Hayes statue. I know you're not going to beat yourself or pat yourself on the back, but I think Ohio State's missing out there. What do you think?
Yeah, I was down there in Florida when we built these statues of the Heisman Trophy winners, and Absolutely. I'm a fan of that stuff. Now, it's not necessarily me, but I just told people there should be something about Cardale Jones somewhere on that campus too. If I was ever an AD, I'd do that. I do. You know what I do that for? Not only for the people or for the Cardale or whoever it may be, but for the fans.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, that's there. And once again, there's only you can count them on one hand. The schools that have the kind of thing Ohio State or Florida they have, and yeah, I imagine raising money would be no issue. Just say let's go put some thing. You know, Archie. I think Archie's. I didn't see it yet, but Archie's got. Oh shoot, I wanted to go see that. I roll the last game,
Right outside the rotunda.
and he should.
Hey, last thing. What is going on in college football this year? From a nutshell, Georgia scores gives up 31 points to Mississippi State, which couldn't beat Toledo, couldn't even get close to Toledo, and then goes and holds Texas to 15 points. Is it just from one day to the next? And how would you deal with this from the standpoint of you don't know what your team is showing up and maybe what other team is showing up? How crazy in your mind is it right now?
I think, Tim, if you look back, it's always been crazy. You know, we had a couple. JT Barrett was 19 for 19 in the fourth quarter. We beat Penn State. We lose to Iowa badly the next week. So you can go back 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, and it's just all fresh and raw right now. But I think, you know, the reality is college football, and we call a section on our podcast, any given Saturday, anything can happen. And that's one of the things that takes your breath away as a coach. There's a lot of distractions out there. There's a lot of issues that are causing players maybe and coaches to maybe not stay focused. But to say that's this year, I think, you know, you go back as many times as you want and say, what happened? And so I think it's, I will say this to close with, Joel Klatt did something really good on Big Noon, and we did something at, I think, Big Ten Network as well. But right now I counted 22 teams that think they're going to make the playoff. You don't remember the BCS era. There was you were hoping for a bowl game if you lost. So right now the engagement for the fans, the alumni, the coaching staffs, and most importantly the players, you're not going to see opt-outs. I mean, you got a chance to go play in a playoff, you're going. So I think there's so much good to go going on right now. I know there's other stuff that we need to get cleaned up, but there's a lot of good.
Yeah, absolutely. And ratings are boffo, right? That's a good thing. Hey, Urban Meyer, thank you once again, man, for joining the Tim May Show. I really enjoyed it.
I miss you, brother. Good to see you.
Yes, sir.